Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
And last night, it all wrapped up the Tokyo Games. I think the US came out on top, 39 gold, but us Aussies did all right. 17 gold in the end, 46 medals overall. Mm. So good effort. And, of course, to wrap up the games like they do with every games, they have the closing ceremony.
I really feel like the opening ceremony is such more hype, and more people are more interested in the opening than the closing, because the closing is like, you know, it's like the end of the party, where if you stay around for too long, people will ask you to help clean up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure during last night's closing ceremony, I saw people putting chairs up. So
on tables.
They started closing dim time. The lights and things like that. Actually, like, it was funny, 1 hour prior to the closing ceremony, there were still people protesting the games. There were still people outside the stadium yelling, cancel the Olympics. Like, mate, we've just had 2 weeks of events. I don't think they're listening anymore. But our Aussie contingent, what's left of them, marched out. You had champion sailor Matthew Belcher waving the flag proudly. You had bronze medalist decathlete Ashley Maloney. This is the guy that almost didn't finish the other day. Yeah. Had to be yelled at by one of his teammates. He came out carrying another person on his shoulders.
It's like, even when he was in the race, it felt like that that Dubler chap was like Yoda on his back telling him what to do, yelling at him.
So I don't know if he was helping someone else who couldn't file out last night, but it was all to wrap up the Tokyo Games. The concept of the closing ceremony was the worlds we share. There was heaps of people watching, obviously online and on TV, because the stadium was largely empty. But there was one, I won't say person, it was a character, definitely.
A character?
Yeah. One thing that overshadowed all of it, and that was a tiny moth.
Wow. How did it manage to do that?
There was an insect that was spotted hovering around the Olympic symbol up on the podium when the president of the games, Hashimoto Seiko, was thanking the athletes. Right in one of the rings was this moth, although there was a very questionable whether it was a cicada or a moth. There was a lot of buzz online, pardon the pun, of people debating whether or not it was a cicada or a moth.
Can we guarantee it wasn't a protester? It didn't have like a little toothpick and a little sign?
They didn't zoom in close enough for me to get a good look at it. But this moth became a celebrity overnight. Actually has its own Twitter account now. If you look up Olympic moth, you can find him online. He's been tweeting to the fly that was on Mike Pence's head during the debate last year. Go, oh, did you see me at the closing ceremony last night? Oh, everyone was watching me. There was actually at one point, because they realized so much attention was being diverted to this moth. And they've got all this, like, you know, music and lights and drones and fireworks. And everyone's like, oh, how about that moth? So they realized that they had to get the moth off stage. So they had a guy trying to swat the moth with a towel.
A little towel flick.
And then, of course, on social media, the hashtag Moth Lives Matter started trending. They're like, leave the moth alone. He's just there enjoying the games.
Yeah.
The moth sort of stole the spotlight last night during the closing ceremony. I don't think, though, we'll see him at the Paris Games.
Aww.
Because, as we all know, moths are attracted to bright lights. And when you've got a massive cauldron of fire at your closing ceremony, well, the outcome is pretty understandable.
Oh, don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
Oh, poor Olympic moth. We knew him so well.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.
Every day we're seeing these numbers. They're going up slightly down, then up further again when it comes to COVID cases in New South Wales. We've got billionaires flying to space. It's like, do you know something that we don't know? No, what's happening here? Are we the ones being left behind? So much chaos going on. But during this whole time, I reckon probably is now as good a time as any, because you've just about been used to being in lockdown and having restrictions, to actually do a trial of what it'd be like to live on Mars for a year.
Because it may all be in the cards down the track.
Possibly.
Given how the pandemic's going and climate change. Seriously, if you're not looking at what's going on in Europe and the States right now, and you are still saying climate change is not a thing, you've got your head in the sand.
You're not serious about life, are you? Because it looks like the Johnson Space Center in Houston are looking to recruit a whole bunch of people to take part in basically a year-long simulation of what it'll be like to live on Mars.
Okay.
So it's happening here on Earth, obviously. A 3D printer was used to print out some of the habitat for Mars and that as well, to try and get them fully immersed into what it's going to be like to be on Mars. there's going to be certain restrictions like there would be if you were on Mars, like spacewalks daily and stuff like that. Minimal chat and communication with loved ones.
So is it going to be like Biodome? Like, not the Paulie Shore movie, but I'm like, are they put them in it? Because I remember back in the 90s, there was a big thing about these dome things and people were living like they were on another planet.
Yeah, that's basically what it's going to be. A 1,700 square foot Martian habitat, so to speak.
Right.
So looking for basically the best of the best, so to speak. So it's saying that anyone can apply for this in the US as of a couple of days ago. It's like, yeah, but sure, you're looking for pretty resourceful people. I'm thinking about, you know, Mark Watney from The Martian, people like that.
Yeah, people who can grow potatoes with their own poop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no Australians, because imagine if things went wrong, I'd be like, oh, yeah, she'll be right. Be like, no, that's probably not going to help us out when it comes to this as well. So
that'd be great if you like you did take part in this and you did grow potatoes in your own poop. And then like once it's all wrapped up, you're like, you come back and you're on an episode of Better Homes and Gardens, like just showing how it's done. Like,
yeah, so they're trying to simulate this down to a T. Like I said, limited communication back home, restricted food and resources, equipment failures as well. So they'd probably be like, you know, like you get the old fire drill when you're at school and things like that to sort of test what you would do and how you would react.
Yeah.
I guess there was always half the class left behind or something like that. Those things never went to plan. Hopefully this goes a little bit better.
But, I mean, is it just you by yourself? There's other people involved.
No, there's going to be about four people, supposedly.
Oh, so it's like a group project.
Yeah.
Oh, group projects are the worst, man.
Yeah.
Like, I used to hate those at school and uni.
Because there's always one that does all the work and there'd be
one that slacks off.
Yeah,
there'd
be
one
me
that
just sits there and goes, all right, guys, I'll meet you at the finish line at presentation. Just stand up with my hands not knowing what to do.
Even on Mars, there's no escaping the group bludger. Like, they're going to be there.
Hopefully it won't be like that, though, because the requirements for this are pretty strict. They're talking about looking at people that have a master's degree in science, engineering, or math, or pilot experience. You know,
so early childcare, that's out. You graduate diploma in early childcare, that's not acceptable.
Conflict management might be something you need as well, but they're looking for people between 30 and 55 in good physical health. No dietary issues, so no, you know, this gluten-free stuff and that sort of stuff as well.
Imagine that. You serve up some of your poop-grown potatoes and there's one person in the group goes, are these organic and gluten-free? Like, are these free-range potatoes?
We've been voted out of the dome.
the
wastelands.
The worst.
Also,
I just opened the airlock and just inject myself into it.
Can you go and check out there for a second?
Oh, I couldn't hack that, like a whole year with someone like that in the group.
And with most things when it comes to space programs, they can't have people that are prone to motion sickness as well. That's definitely one as well. But obviously this thing's gone viral. People are interested. One celeb who is particularly interested is this guy, as a matter of fact.
First time on Mars?
Yes. Well, actually, no. Well, sort of.
Let's be honest. Last time that guy thought he was on Mars, you know, he turned the red planet into the dead planet in less than 2 hours. So we'll have to skip on Arnie, I think, for this one.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.
Well, to say that the vaccine rollout here in Australia has gone smoothly, that would be a big lie.
That would be incorrect.
One that some of the pollies have been trying to push for a while now. But down in Melbourne, they've taken a huge step to try and get more jabs into people's arms. They've opened up drive-through vaccinations. Where else? But Bunnings.
Once home to hardware, this Melton Bunnings is no longer DIY. Now the brand new backdrop to Australia's first drive-through jabs.
It started on a piece of butcher's paper a couple of days ago, and really it's turned into what we're about to kick off with today.
They were just scribbling the plans down on butcher's paper, which kind of sounds like how they've been, you know, planning the whole rollout to begin with. Just hastily cobbled together. But, heaps of people turning up for the drive-through jabs.
Do you reckon, like, Bunnings is just trying to sneak in there as well and just, like, throw a little catalogue in once they get the jabs? You know, it's like, but if you want to, you know.
You've got to wait here for 15 minutes, so why not just browse our catalogue, see if there's anything in store you might like to purchase. You know, obviously it sounds like a pretty good idea, you know, jab in the arm, sausage in the mouth maybe.
No, I don't think there are any sausages sizzling at that Bunnings. Sorry.
Oh, good one, Dan Andrews. You had to ruin that
game as well,
didn't you? It's essentially what it sounds like. You roll up in the car, you just roll down the window, and that's it. The health staff there do the rest. They come over, run through the questions, give you the jab in the arm, and you wait in your car for 15 minutes. you're on your merry way.
It's about time they did something like this. Mm. Like, geez, it's been, we're so far into this now, it should have been like a process where it was just in, out, and easy like that. Like a drive-through, like a Macca's drive-through when you want to get dinner. You just go round, you're in, you're out, that's it, it's done.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe they could take a leaf out of Macca's, like, and make it even easier. Like, have, like, the little speaker box at the front of the driveway. It's like, hello, welcome to Bunnings Inoculations. Can I take your order?
Yeah.
Yeah, can I have one jab of the Pfizer and... And one of the AstraZeneca, Pfizer, thanks, two Pfizer. Yeah, it's going to be, and then they, of course, they'd respond with, oh, that's going to be a 3-month wait on the Pfizer. Can I just get you to pull up to the waiting bay for you? Yeah. Or it'd be one of those things as well, like you order it, and then you go home and you're halfway there and you're like, oh, they gave me the AstraZeneca. I asked for the Pfizer. Oh, I'm not going back now, stuff it. I'll risk the clots, whatever. But yeah, they reckon now with this drive-through vaccination program that there'll be thousands of people turning out for it.
With capacity to process 12 cars at a time and up to 10,000 a week, it's the next tool to accelerate our vaccine rollout.
Yeah, the next tool. Of course, the first tool was this guy.
If they wish to go and speak to their doctor and have access to the AstraZeneca vaccine, they can do so.
They've moved on to the next tool, which is good to see. Makes me wonder, though, what's next? You know, if we've got hardware stores
that can hand out a jab,
that are going to be vaccinating the population, will they help out with other health areas? Like, we have massive waiting lists when it comes to surgery. I'm like, maybe Bunnings and, like, all these other hardware chains could be the place. You've already got the power tools there.
Yep.
You got the saws. You got a staple gun to put people back together.
Mm-hmm.
At Bunnings, they're wearing the snazzy little aprons, so they're already sort of dressed like they're ready for surgery.
Yeah, they're dressed like butchers in case things go bad.
Yeah. And then, you know, so they could be offering surgeries, cut down on those waiting lists, and if you can find somewhere else that does a cheaper surgery, they'll beat it by 10%. It's a bargain.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.